At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What up, pro silly listeners? Welcome to the Professionally Silly Podcast. I'm your audible boo thing, Amber Smiles Jones, and this is a podcast where we discuss ghost stories, true crime, and crazy shit that I find online. Oh, I love it when it rhymes on accident. Ooh, I did it again. I think I did it last episode too. Anywho, hosted by a gorgeous melanated queen such as myself, scraping by in Los Angeles. So last Sunday on my YouTube channel, also called Professionally Silly, I got to be a 911 operator for an evening. Yep, you heard right. I found this fun game called 911 Operator. It's an app, and it's a simulation where I was the operator, and it was fun as fuck and also stressful as hell. Definitely download the app and play it. It's lots of fun. And no, this is not a sponsored ad or anything. It's just a fun ass game. Check out my YouTube video. I posted it last Sunday, so it's the last video that I posted. And I post a YouTube video every Sunday, as well as a podcast episode every Friday. So your girl be busy. You know what I'm saying? And the game is like 99 cents. So it's like, you know, why not? Give it a shot. So last week, we took a lovely dive into instant karma stories. There is really nothing more wonderful than an asshole getting what's coming to him. I love it. It was a very delicious episode, so make sure you check that one out. This week, we have ourselves a true crime episode today. Yes. So it's time to get murdery. It turns out, not many people are aware of this particular true crime story. I've asked several people, like, hey, have you heard of this? And they're like, no, what is that? Like the pills you take, like the medicine? I'm like, yeah. They're like, I don't know. Okay. Well, today, my dear friends, we are going to discuss the Tylenol murders. Yep. Yes, you heard right. Tylenol, like the pain relieving medication. Yes. Now, in the 80s, it killed several people, and I'm going to tell you why. But before we jump into that, if you're listening to this podcast on an Apple device, hook me up with a 5-star rating and a written review on the Professionally Silly Podcast. Pretty please on Apple Podcast. Doing this will actually help my podcast earn more listeners and grow, and maybe even one day make it in one of those like top comedy podcast chart list thingamajigs or something. That'd be fun. Also, if you want to join in on the silly, you can always call/text my Google Voice number as well. My number is 805-664-1828, and it's also below in the show notes. Okay, let's get it.
Were the cyanide capsules the work of a homicidal maniac bent on random murder? Well, that nightmarish idea seems a real possibility at this stage of the mystery, partly because no other logical explanation has turned up so far.
But because of today's developments, more states, including New Jersey, joined in banning the sale of extra-strength Tylenol capsules. A total of 12 states, plus the District of Columbia, now prohibit the medicine's sale.
Good evening. As officials in states from New York to California pulled Tylenol capsules off shelves today, the company that manufactures the drug took its own action. Johnson & Johnson is now offering a $100,000 reward for the arrest and conviction of those responsible for spiking Tylenol capsules with deadly cyanide poisoning.
So what you just heard was actual news coverage from 1982. That's just, it's awesome. I'm super excited to share this episode with you because I actually asked a lot of people if they had ever heard of the Tylenol murders, and a lot of people haven't, surprisingly, which, you know, makes sense. Not everybody was in Chicago or heard about it, and, you know, whatever your reasoning may have been. So, all right, let's get to it. Oh, by the way, if you want to go ahead and take a look at our Instagram page at It's Pro Silly, and you can take a look at some photos for this episode. Okay, so murder. And trigger warning. If you use OTC medication, which almost everyone does these days, and OTC means over the counter, by the way. Now, I don't know how many of you have actually heard of the Tylenol murders before this podcast episode, but they took place in the early 80s in Chicago. This case changed how OTC medication is packaged. And once upon a time, when you would get pills, they weren't always sealed tight. You know, they weren't always sealed at all. They just had like a little plastic, you know, plastic little top on there, boop, put right there. But you can just push it off with your thumb or your finger and get it open. It was easy. You know, meaning anyone can open them and put them back. All right. So that plastic seal on top wasn't always there. You know, Tylenol pretty much changed the packaging game for household products all over the country. Dare I say it, maybe all over the world. Now, people never really think of reasons why things are the way they are. For existence, the story behind why the number 911 was created. And it wasn't even that long ago. Early 70s, late 60s is when the number 911 was created. And I'll probably do a podcast episode about that too. Why and when the Amber Alert became a thing as well. You know, there are so many stories behind the things that we just see as everyday situations. And today we're going to talk about why OTC medication is packaged the way that it is, which is to protect you. So let's go ahead and talk about the Tylenol murders. We got ourselves a true crime episode. All right, so on September 29th, 1982, seven people in the Chicago area took poisoned Tylenol pills. Now, unfortunately, this eventually caused their death, and quite quickly, actually. It all started with Mary Kellerman, who was only 12 years old, and she complained to her parents of a sore throat and a runny nose. They gave her a capsule of extra strength Tylenol. She woke up later and went to the bathroom. After she closed the door, there was a thud. That was the sound of her body hitting the floor. Now, her father knocked on the door a couple of times, but got no answer. When he went inside, he found his 12-year-old daughter unconscious on the bathroom floor. She appeared to be suffering from cardiac arrest and was rushed to the hospital, but died hours later after ingesting that pill. It's crazy when you think about it. You know, now this is just at a different time. People took Tylenol for everything, you know, but you just don't think that a 12-year-old girl is going to have cardiac arrest. No one had any idea how this young girl died. It was just a huge question mark. Excuse me. And we have a postal worker, and his name was Adam Janis. He was 27 years old, and he took some, extra strength Tylenol as well later that morning, the same morning, and he wasn't feeling well. Now, the thing about today, this day, it was his anniversary, and that was a day that he had planned to cook his wife a wonderful steak dinner later that day, so he wanted to go ahead and get some rest. Now, he took a couple of Tylenol, and he laid down for a nap, and his daughter ended up seeing him turning blue, and then his wife called 911. Now, it also appeared that he was having a heart attack, just like 12-year-old Mary, and he was dead a few hours later. Now, once again, this is a time when Tylenol was pretty much used for everything, sore throats, headaches, stomachs, you name it. You know, it was the number one pain reliever capsule that was used in hospitals as well, you know. And unfortunately, Adam, he passed away at the hospital not long after he arrived, and no one could figure out what the fuck was going on. Now, after a few hours later, after hearing about Adam's death, his brother Stanley Janis and his brother's wife, Teresa Janice, they came to pay their respects and mourn their loss, you know, and they were complaining of headaches at this time, which makes a lot of sense because they were probably crying a lot, you know, and it's also said that Stanley had a back issue as well, so that was bothering him. They saw the same bottle of Tylenol sitting on the counter that that Adam had taken, and they took the same Tylenol from the same exact bottle that Adam used. Now, Stanley, and I'm saying Teresa as well, because she had a headache from crying so much, which is completely understandable. Now, Stanley came out of the bathroom, clutching his chest and foaming at the mouth, and he said, "Oh my God, my heart." That's what he said. The ambulance was called, and they arrived pretty quickly and started to work on him. Now, moments later, his wife, Teresa, began to do everything her husband did just a few moments later. Of course, EMTs were completely confused, baffled, because it was just so strange to see the same exact thing happen to the person that they're working on happen to someone else, like, immediately. It was baffling. Now, the ambulance, that same ambulance was also there earlier that same day for Adam. So they're wondering, what the fuck? We've already been here today. And, you know, Adam had done the same thing. Now, Stanley and Teresa are having the same reactions. What the fuck is going on in this house? You know, unfortunately, Teresa and Stanley died not long after ingesting the pills. Stanley was 25 and Teresa was only 19. So we have three people in one family die within 72 hours of each other. What the fuck is going on? Which I also cannot possibly imagine losing three people, you know, in your family on the same day. That is a lot to deal with. I can only imagine how difficult that must have been. And while wondering how this could happen, this is crazy, because so far we have four deaths right now. Four deaths. This is insane.
Police are looking for disgruntled employees, angry customers, anybody with a grudge against the stores or Tylenol. Police are even checking stock transactions to see whether someone was trying to push down the value of Johnson & Johnson stock.
Johnson & Johnson is giving refunds or Tylenol tablets or caplets to anyone who returns Tylenol capsules.
People were terrorized. They didn't know what product they had in their home that could possibly be lethal if they ingested it.
In 1982, I was 8 years old, and my mom had just gotten back from the maternity ward, went to the grocery store and bought Tylenol from the grocery store that was doctor's orders. And the next thing I knew, I just saw my mom go out on a stretcher from my upstairs window, and that was the last that I saw her. We had police riding around with their bullhorns, yelling, "Throw out your Tylenol, flush it down the toilet.
Do not take any Tylenol until further notice."
People were checking themselves into the ER, thinking they'd been poisoned. It was absolute chaos.
Within the next few days or so, three more people passed away of similar circumstances. Paula Prince, who was 35, she was a flight attendant in Chicago for like a short time. Kind of most likely on a nap in Chicago. It's just flight attendant lingo for saying they're, you know, kind of like a usually 5 hours or shorter you're there for, or maybe she was there for an overnight. Anyway, she went to a Walgreens for some OTC medication, and she bought a bottle of extra strength Tylenol and died alone in her hotel room. We also have Mary McFarlane, 31, who worked at a mall and complained of a headache. She took some Tylenol and passed out at work. A coworker called for help, and she died later as well. Then we have Mary Reiner, 27, and strangely enough, this is the third Mary who passed away to this to this horrible poisonings. Mary Reiner was just discharged from the hospital after giving birth to her fourth child. We heard what her daughter Michelle had to say earlier in the clip earlier. Of course, Mary was still experiencing some pain and discomfort and decided to take some Tylenol to relieve that pain, plus it was the doctor's orders. She felt a sudden burst of nausea, collapsed to the floor, and died at the hospital a few hours later. Now, I have no idea why there were so many women named Mary involved in this case. It's one of those strange coincidences. It sounded weird when I said that. And it kind of freaks me out, too, because that's also my mother's name and my grandmother's name. I'm so glad that's not my name, though. I cannot imagine my name being Mary. I don't think I could rock that. I barely rock the name I have. Amber? Oh, God. All right. So after the deaths of Adam, Stanley, and Teresa Jonas, that was the family when they all died in the same day, within the same household, things started to kind of fall in place with police because those three people died in the same house and used the same bottle of Tylenol Extra Strength, or Extra Strength Tylenol. Now, once people, once everyone started to realize that the Tylenol was connected to these deaths, you can believe they started testing the Tylenol. And Cook County investigator Nick Pichos, I hope I said his name right, compared the Tylenol bottles of Mary Kellerman and the Jonas's bottles. Now, both bottles had the same number, the same lot number on them, MC 2880. So the deputy medical examiner, asked the investigator to smell the bottles because he thought he smelled something strange. And they both noted that they smelled almonds. The bottles, both of them, smelled like almonds. Now, apparently, only some people can actually smell cyanide, which does have the scent of almonds. There's a fun fact for you. About 40% of the population cannot smell that almond smell that cyanide tends to give off. Which, by the way, they smelled cyanide inside the pill bottoms and inside the pill bottles. So, that's something that smells like almonds that isn't almonds. There you go. There's something for you. Helen Jensen, who was a former nurse, was asked to go take a look at the Janice household to figure out where the poisoning could have occurred, which makes a lot of sense because three people died in that house in one day. Like, it's time to check that out. Well, not one day, but like 72 hours, but it's time to check that out, you know? There were a lot of unanswered questions, and the police took her over to the house, which was kind of strange because she was a nurse and she wasn't even a working nurse. She didn't work for the police. It was weird that they asked her to go there, but you know, the 80s, everything was done differently there. But anyways, the police took her over to the house and she dug through the trash and the refrigerator and looked around the house, including the medicine cabinet. And she came across a bottle of extra strength Tylenol and noticed that six pills were missing from that bottle. Now, the average person, as you know, usually takes two Tylenol capsules to relieve pain. Now, for me, if I'm on my lady time and my cramps is crazy, I might bust three or four. I ain't gonna lie. You're not supposed to do that, but fuck it. Anyways, the fact that six pills were missing most likely meant that three people took two pills. And those three people were Adam, Stanley, and Teresa. So that's kind of crazy when you think about it. Yeah. Ooh, let's talk cyanide, shall we? Now, that's morbid. Okay, so according to the CDC.gov, cyanide is a rapidly acting, potentially deadly chemical that can exist in various forms. Now, it can be a colorless gas, like hydrogen cyanide, or crystal forms such as sodium cyanide or potassium cyanide. Now, here's a random fact about it. Yay! Cyanide, fun random fact about cyanide. Cyanide is actually considered to be one of the most famous types of poisons used to poison. So I decided to do a bit more research on it. Now, hopefully, I'll be able to share what I learned without having to say the word cyanide too many times. So apparently cyanide, I'm an asshole, I know. I gotta say it a few more times. Cyanide can refer to any chemical that contains a carbon-nitrogen bond, according to Healthline.com. Look at me citing my sources. You guys are gonna come after me like you did Ashley Flowers from Crime Junkie. Leave that bitch alone. She can tell a great story. I love it. Anyways, they can also be found in a lot of plants and foods that are safe to eat, like almonds, soy, spinach, and lima beans. My assumption is that you would probably have to consume a lot of those items in order to die of cyanide poisoning. I don't know how many. You're going to have to Google that or ask Alexa or whatever the fuck you want to do there. Now, what are the symptoms of cyanide poisoning? And I'll be honest, I wasn't too sure about that until I researched it. I just, thought foaming at the mouth or something like in the movies. I don't know. Now, a person could experience nausea, headaches, confusion, loss of consciousness, difficulty breathing, overall weakness, seizures, and even cardiac arrest, as you've heard before. In what we were talking about earlier, if you are using this to poison someone, the dose, like the type of cyanide and how long someone is exposed is something you would need to know, because there's different types of cyanide, different doses affect different people, probably depending on age, weight, health, and all that stuff. Maybe even taste and smell, I don't know, but a lot of things. Cyanide is considered to be an asphyxiant. I said this earlier and it was not a problem. And now that I'm trying to record it, I can't fucking say it. Asphyxiant. Son of a bitch. Anyways, moving on. The word I'm trying to say means it cuts off your respiratory system, which can cause dizziness, confusion, and headaches within minutes of ingesting cyanide. Asphyxiant. I tried to sneak up on it. I hope I got it. I have friends who can't say aluminum or cinnamon. Okay, so leave me alone. That's a hard one. There's like a PH and a Y and an X together. It's a lot of letters. Okay. Anyways, cyanide, it pretty much attacks the oxygen that your heart and your brain need to keep functioning, and it deprives your cells of oxygen, and that's how it kills you so quickly. Ooh, fun fact about cyanide. Again, morbid, sorry. There is there's cyanide in cigarette smoke as well. So think about the next time you take a drag. I don't know. Smoking cigarettes is actually considered one of the biggest ways that you can be exposed to cyanide. Structure fires are another way to be exposed to a lot of cyanide, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, you think about it, firefighters, they tend to go into buildings that are on fire, and all that shit that sets on fire releases all types of gases and chemicals and all that stuff into the air. And cyanide is one of them. That's why they have to wear all the protective gear, including the oxygen tanks and nitrogen tanks that they wear, in order to keep them alive while they're doing what they do. But it's also maybe another reason why a lot of people in that field of work, firefighting field of work, tend to develop lung cancers and trouble with the respiratory systems and things like that later down the road. Now, that's not like gospel, but they tend to have those health issues on down the line from what I've read. I'm not a firefighter, haven't interviewed anybody, don't come for me. I'm just talking about shit that I find online. There is a way to treat cyanide poisoning, but you have to know what the problem is. You have to know what type of cyanide it is, what you ingested, how much of it, if you can. And hopefully if you have already identified the source of the exposure, that would make it a lot easier for your doctor to determine the appropriate treatment. Now, if you ingested cyanide, they may give you activated charcoal to help absorb it and safely get it out of your body. And, you know, that, I mean, again, never experienced it. Found this shit online. It is also said that there's cyanide exposure that it may affect your oxygen intake. Okay, so like I said, it does attack your, I was going to try to say it again, I can't, your respiratory system. So there's a good chance that your doctor may give you 100% oxygen to help you with that with a, like oxygen mask or something. Now, if it's left untreated, then the cyanide poisoning can result, you know, seizures, cardiac arrest, coma, as well as death. You know, I got side note here. When I was a kid, I thought a coma, I thought it was a coma, like one word. I didn't realize it was like a space coma. Thought I'd share that with you. Okay, so I don't know why. Now, unfortunately, at the time, no one knew that cyanide was the culprit of these deaths for, you know, for the Tylenol murders. At the time, they hadn't known yet. They hadn't found out yet. Now, after the autopsies were done and other tests as well, results showed that the victims had ingested between 100% to 1,000% times the lethal amount, which is insane. Now, cyanide does have a lot of uses, and it's not always used to poison your ex-lover. Okay. It's also used, that's what arsenic is for. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's also used for pest control. So when you call your exterminator to take care of roach problems or mice problems or shit like that, that's why they always have those masks on, you know, and that's also how they kill it, you know. Cyanide is also used in mining to dissolve metals. I didn't know that until I, you know, researched some of this stuff. It's also used for medical purposes. Apparently, it can be used to help lower your blood pressure. It can be used to help, read urine analysis for diabetics with those test strips. I think they're called Keystone test strips. And it can be used, well, it was used in gas chambers during the Holocaust. We don't need to talk about that. That was fucking horrible. And the assholes who are involved in poaching tend to use it to poison the watering holes, you know, so they can get elephants and rhinos and other animals for their ivory or fur or whatever it is that they want. Which, let me just say, I can't fucking stand poachers, okay? You know, and they all deserve to be locked up or poached themselves. I mean, to be honest with you, I really don't see the point in hunting unless you're like doing so for food or something sustainable. But for those assholes who go out and kill animals just to kill for sport, for the fun of it, they can all suck a dick. Just go on Amazon, purchase yourselves a huge bag of dicks and then choke on them. Also, if you happen to see a bag of dicks on sale on Amazon, maybe report that person. They shouldn't be selling bags of dicks on Amazon. It's probably like a bunch of guys running around with their dicks. Just like, ah, shit. Well, that went left really fast. Sorry. Listen, just stop killing animals just because you can. All right. Like, you know, if you're going to eat them, that's one thing. But just killing them for sport, you know, fuck you. You know, you suck. Like, bags of dicks, like I said. Yeah. All right. I have to get that off my chest. But could you imagine if human beings did that to other human beings as much as we do that with animals? Imagine a world of like Jeffrey Dahmers and Ed Kempers walking around. Like, oh, God. I mean, we do kind of have a world like that. It's just not as many. You know what I mean? And honestly, if you don't, I know some of you are like, who's Ed Kemper? If you don't know who Ed Kemper is, he's fucked up. In my opinion, he's worse than Ted Bundy. It's Ted Bundy, and way more fucking terrifying. Yeah, he's a fucking serial killer. Well, yeah, he killed motherfuckers. I might have to do a podcast episode on him. Remind me. Tweet me at the It's Pro Silly Twitter account. And remind me to do that. Anywho, I'm just a huge fan of animals, and it's, all right, let me just get through this. Back to cyanide. So anyway, cyanide is also used in industrial chemistry to produce lots of products like plastics, nylon, insulation, paper. So what you kind of think about is like cyanide is probably the world's most useful poisons, which is kind of weird to admit. Oh, that's weird. Now, I think I've reached a good break point. I'm going to go use the ladies' room and pour myself a glass of wine. And while I do that, I want you guys to enjoy this trailer from literally my favorite true crime podcast ever. It's called I Said Goddamn. Yeah, that's the name of their podcast, and they are fucking hilarious. Aaron and Stacey, I love y'all. If you are into true crime, comedy, and two voices that sound exactly the same, look, Aaron, Stacey, you know damn well what the fuck you both sound like. Anyways, if you're into that and true crime and a good time, make sure you check out the I Said Goddamn podcast.
Hey, true crime listeners, check out our podcast, I Said Goddamn. We're a true crime comedy podcast hosted by two besties who like to share messed up cases that make you say goddamn. Every Sunday, we try to one-up each other's story by sharing a horrific case the other has never heard of. Along the way, we splash in some wildly inappropriate jokes and colorful language. Listen every Sunday from any of your favorite podcast directories. Also, follow us on Twitter at ISGDPodcast or visit our website, ISGDPodcast.com.
Listen, okay, guys, I am a true crime podcast head. Do you understand? The I Said Goddamn podcast is definitely on my top three true crime podcasts that I enjoy. I'm being dead ass. Right up there with them is Wine and Crime, which, let me say, the first episode is about necrophilia. Took me a while to give them a shot. It's like, who the fuck wants to hear about that? But then, like, when they give you the stories and they're so fucking hilarious, it was great. So I subscribed to their podcast via Spotify. Same with I Said Goddamn. And it probably took me a good month just listening to the first episode just because of the title. the necrophilia. For the first episode, bitches, come on. It's Amanda, Kenyon, and Lucy, and they're from Minnesota, and they talk about true crime while doing their worst Minnesotan accents. So they're funny too, right up there with the I Said Goddamn podcast. But all of those bitches are hilarious. You know, all of them. I love them. My true crime bitches. My true crime podcast bitches. And Amanda is my spirit animal. I just want to throw that out there. Also, check out the podcast My Favorite Murder. That podcast is not really in need of a shout out for me. They're doing real good on their own. Like on tours and shit. Those bitches are like going in public and touring and talking about murder and shit like that. And it's great. And they're staying sexy while they do it. Which is great because that's actually their tagline. At the end of their podcast episodes, they say, stay sexy and don't get murdered. Like that. Oh, so hot. I love it. And I try to do that every day. And I encourage all of you to do the same. Also, check out the podcast, And That's Why We Drink. They discuss two of my favorite creepy topics, true crime and the paranormal. Love, love them. Yes, Em and Christine, love those bitches. Yes! And there are so many more true crime podcasts, and I probably subscribe to, like, I don't know, 80 of them. I subscribed to three more. I haven't even listened to them yet. Just read the synopsis and was like, yeah, I want to listen to this later. Put it up. And actually, on the I Said Goddamn podcast, I am three episodes away from being caught up from the entire podcast series. And I have been kind of like, you know, when you don't want something to end, I'm like waiting for them to do a few more episodes so I can just binge, you know? I have a problem. I do. Okay, so let's get back to our true crime episode. The Chicago Tylenol murders, have we discussed? Have you heard of this? Have we talked about this? Let's get back to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Three people are dead, and another is in critical condition tonight.
One of the victims took the pills he bought to his home.
His brother and sister-in-law were so upset by his death that they went back to the house and took some Tylenol from the same bottle.
A health department inspector has visited stores checking retailers for compliance with that ban. Among the shops visited, drug stores and discount places along 14th Street. Most merchants have already pulled that drug from their shelves, and the city health commissioner warned there would be penalties for those in violation.
We won't take any action the first time. We will pay a second visit, and if on the second visit the product still is on the shelf, that subjects the shopkeeper to a fine of $500.
That bizarre mystery of Tylenol laced with cyanide still has not been solved tonight.
Investigators say they are searching for, quote, a madman.
All the bottles of extra-strength capsules were removed Friday as part of the nationwide recall.
Now, not only is extra-strength Tylenol off the shelves, Tylenol commercials are off the air.
The race is on for Tylenol's competitors.
This is insane. Some asshole, still unsolved, still don't know who this person is, took it upon themselves to go to stores, pull Tylenol off the shelves, take them home, fill the capsules with cyanide, and then put them back on the shelves. That is, it's insane. So the doctors, they sent investigators out to test the Janus family's household for the poison, and they realized that the symptoms did support the idea that the poison was cyanide. Now, after questioning several of the family members of those that passed, they learned that everyone had taken extra strength Tylenol. So now we know what has caused the deaths, but to this day, we still don't know why or even who. This case, as I said, is still unsolved. Now, the pill bottles and the pills themselves were tested and observed. They didn't find anything usable to help them connect it to some one person. The white powder on the inside was crystallized instead of powdery. They noted that some of the pills were swollen and discolored, and that's probably because the cyanide was eating through the coating of the capsules. So this let the police also know that someone would have had to put the cyanide-filled pills back onto the shelves recently. Now, otherwise, the pills would have, the cyanide, the poison would have eaten through the capsules completely. You know, now that they are aware of what happened, it was time to inform the public. Johnson & Johnson, who owned Tylenol, actually went down in history for crisis management. Now, this is before you would get the Amber Alerts or the text messages or emails, and things like that when there is a problem. So when they because this was the 80s. Okay, so when they recalled. Tylenol decided to recall everything. Johnson & Johnson recalled all extra strength Tylenol pills. So the police, this is where it gets interesting, because once again, we're in the 80s. This is before text messages, email alerts, things like that. So the police were going door to door collecting everyone's Tylenol. Warnings were printed in the newspapers and reported by the news stations. They even had police vehicles and fire trucks with loudspeakers and megaphones asking people not to take Tylenol because it could be lethal. Fuck, can you just imagine just relaxing at home, all of a sudden hearing over loudspeakers that your pain pills could have been poisoned with cyanide? I have to be honest with you, if this exact thing happened today, I don't think the modern world would handle it too well. We live in a time where people go batshit crazy because you choose to drink whole milk instead of almond. You know, you got, you know what I'm saying? You got vegans shaming you because you like burgers. It's crazy. So something tells me a series of murders by poisoning would not go too well in the media for any company. I'm very surprised that Johnson & Johnson and Tylenol were able to figure this shit out as quickly as they did. Now, Johnson & Johnson, they did handle things very well. They did everything that they could to fix this problem. They recalled 31 million bottles of Tylenol. They tested 1.5 million bottles, and they offered a $100,000 reward for information about whoever could have done this. And in doing all of this, cost Johnson & Johnson about $100 million. That's a lot of fucking money. No matter what decade you live in. That's a lot of money now. That's a lot of money then. Holy balls. Ah, damn. Now, it's a good thing that they decided to recall all these pill bottles, because they found three more bottles that did have cyanide pills inside of them. Now, one was inside a person's medicine cabinet, one was purchased, and one was actually returned to the store, which is, you know, kind of, huh? You know what I mean? And that one was actually sitting on the store shelf waiting to be repurchased. So during the investigation, it was discovered that the tainted bottles were purchased at different stores, and the containers involved were manufactured in different states. So the police was able to rule out assembly line tampering pretty quickly, pretty fast. Then they realized that someone was most likely taking the pill bottles off of the shelves, putting the cyanide into the capsules and returning them to the shelves, which I can imagine probably took a lot of time to do that, and to do that and not leave a lot of fingerprints and things like that. It's just a lot of work, honestly. You know, this day and age, people just shoot each other. Guns are so easy to get. It's just, who's going to take time to poison people? Like, no one does that anymore. Usually, I don't know. I don't know. But this shit is wild. So in all of this, Tylenol decided it's time for a change, guys. We got to figure out another way to gain the public's trust. What can we do? George, what do you got? I don't really know if there's anyone named George, making that up. But, ooh, excuse me. That was a weird belch. It was inside. Didn't even come out. It was strange. Anyways, they decided to redesign the pill bottle to make it... Son of a bitch. You know what? I'm going to keep that in there. Fuck it. Fuck it. I'm leaving it in. It came out. Anyways, they redesigned the pill bottle to make it safer and tamper-proof. That was a dope burp. Listen, tweet me at It's Pro Silly and rate that burp. I feel like that was like at least a 9. Don't be rude. Don't be rude. So the pill bottles were now sealed with the plastic around the bottles. You got the cotton balls inside of them, you know, to keep the pills from jumping around and falling apart and stuff. You know, they come with a warning sticker that they have on the side that says, if this seal is broken, do not purchase. You know, they also introduced a new type of pill called the caplet. Now, that's a pill that can't be opened. That's the pill in solid form. And we usually have like the writing that's etched on it. And they said that it's more difficult to alter them without destroying the entire product, which it is. So, you know, like the Motrin, you know, any pill that can't be opened, that, okay. Everyone was pretty certain that this would be the end of Tylenol, but instead the company was praised for the way that they handled the situation. I mean, they were able to gain the trust of their consumers back, and it only took them 2 months. 2 months after 7 deaths to regain America's trust. Holy shit. Which, you know, didn't take that long when you think about it. 2 months ain't shit. I mean, if it's like a prison sentence, it probably feels like a long time, but this ain't shit. Now, this pretty much changed the way everything was packaged, because now the public was worried about, you know, that other OTC medications could be tampered with, or even food, you know. So before you knew it, everything has safety seals on its packages. Pill bottles, milk, and anything else that you can think of. Like, you get pill bottles now, they usually come in small little bottles that come inside cardboard boxes that are also sealed, you know, and things like that. So it's kind of crazy. So in the 80s, no one really thought that people would, you know, tamper with items, you know, like this to kill people. It wasn't really a thought. But you also have to remember that they just recently discovered what the fuck a serial killer was a few years before. So it's crazy. So the heinous things that humans do to each other now that we're so used to hearing about, you know, we're so jaded by it now. At one point, it was brand new and nobody could have ever conceived that these heinous things could happen. So when you think about it, which I think I've said a million times, everything is the way that it is for a reason. Even things as small as the way items are packaged. It's crazy when you think about it. Oh, I keep saying that. So now let's figure out who done it. All right, we've got ourselves a lot of suspects that had to be combed through. It could have been a white collar crime, perhaps someone trying to mess up the Johnson & Johnson stock. You know, the police took a look at disgruntled employees, psychiatric patients, and even previous shoplifters, you know, to the stores where they found the cyanide pills came from. But unfortunately, these leads, they led nowhere. October 5th, 1982, which was 6 days after the final poisoning, Johnson & Johnson received a letter. This is a crazy letter. And I actually found the letter. I'm going to share it with you. It reads, Johnson & Johnson, parent of McNeil Laboratories. It says, gentlemen, as you can see, it is easy to place cyanide, both potassium and sodium, into capsules sitting on store shelves. And since the cyanide is inside the gelatin, it is easy to get buyers to swallow the bitter pill. Another beauty is that cyanide operates quickly. It takes so very little, and there will be no time to take countermeasures. If you don't mind the publicity of these little capsules, then do nothing. So far, I spent less than $50, and it takes me less than 10 minutes per bottle. If you want to stop the killing, then wire $1 million to bank account 8449597 at Continental Illinois Bank, Chicago, Illinois. Don't attempt to involve the FBI or local Chicago authorities with this letter. A couple of phone calls by me will undo anything you can possibly do. So that's the letter. It's fucked up. And I have to say, it's a little odd that there is an account number along with the bank name. I mean, it can't be that difficult for authorities to figure out whose bank account this is. So, you know, remember that. Remember what I just said later. So it turns out that the accounts belong to a company called Lakeside Travels. So, of course, from there, they decide to question the employees of the company to see if they knew who could have sent that letter. Who could have sent it, you know? And get this here. One of the employees actually noticed the handwriting. They said that it belonged to a man named Robert Richardson, who is a husband of a former employee. Turns out Robert Richardson wasn't even his real name. His real name was James Lewis. And when they looked up his history, they realized he had a lot of motherfucking problems. Okay? Mr. Lewis had some hella baggage. Good old James Lewis was diagnosed with catatonic schizophrenia not long before the Tylenol murders. He was charged with the murder of his neighbor and was acquitted. They actually found his neighbor's dismembered body, in his attic, and James's fingerprints at the scene. But luckily for James, the judge ruled that the search of his house was illegal, and the police, they also did not read him his Miranda rights. So he pretty much got away with murder because the police were too fucking stupid to do their jobs properly. Anyways, moving on. He even chased his mother with an axe at the age of 19. So yeah, this guy was clearly a winner. Clearly. Just the kind of guy you want to bring home to meet Ma. and he You can definitely trust a man that chases his mother around with an axe, can't we? We can do that. Luckily, the FBI used the stamp that was on the letter and traced it back to him in New York. Now, it took them about 3 months to locate him, but they finally did. And get ready to be annoyed. You're about to be really annoyed. Get ready to be super annoyed as fuck. Okay. He was arrested for the Tylenol murders and admitted to writing the letters, but denied actually committing the crime. He was trying to frame his wife's former boss. Remember when I said, remember this? Yeah, this is the part where this comes up again. He was trying to frame his wife's former boss, and that might be why he ended up using the company's account number instead of his own. And of course, no one believed him, but he had a pretty airtight alibi, and the police could not find any evidence or proof that he went to any of the stores where the Tylenol was purchased. Now, they had no clear evidence that could place him anywhere near those stores either. There was one store that had a very grainy video footage of someone who could have been James, but it was not clear enough to definitively say it was him. This is the guy, you know. So, I mean, it was the 80s. You know, their security footage wasn't that great. And to be honest with you now, security footage in convenience stores and shit still aren't that great. So, you know. So, they didn't find any fingerprints or hair or anything like that, any of the stores, or any type of evidence that could tie him to any of those locations. So, he and his wife, they actually bought Amtrak tickets to New York 25 days before the first poisoning occurred. Plus, they stayed in New York until several months after the murders happened. So basically, the police had jack shit on James Lewis. He wasn't arrested for murder, he was arrested and charged with extortion. And he was sentenced 20 years in prison, and he only served 13 of those years before he was released on parole. So they didn't get him for murder, but they got him for extortion. And get this, when he was released from prison, he contacted the FBI to try to help solve the murders. Yeah, this dick, he even went as far as drawing diagrams as to how the murders could have been done, which is complete bullshit. Because most people are like, well, I don't fucking know, you know, especially if you've been accused of it. I would like move far as fuck away from this as I possibly could. But the authorities were only speaking with him in hopes that he would make a mistake so that they could finally arrest their guy. But James never gave them what they were looking for, and eventually he refused to talk to the authorities at all. So they did, however, reopen the case in 2009 and made him and his wife submit DNA and fingerprints to the FBI to be tested, but to no avail. Nada. There are a lot of theories as to, you know, who could have been responsible for the Tylenol murders. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, right after you guys take a listen to the Dumb and Busted podcast promo.
Dumb and Busted has been called, quote, one of America's greatest treasures by 3 out of 3 hosts of the show.
Dumb and Busted is a weekly true crime comedy podcast with stories of exceptionally smart and insanely dumb crimes. Comedian Hunter Donaldson has hailed it as the greatest thing to come out of Portland since comedian Hunter Donaldson, who is me, also a host of the show.
Podcasters Allison Copeland and Hannah Ether praise Dumb and Busted as, quote, found on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Just more rave reviews from 2 other people who host the show.
Catch us every Thursday and follow us at Dumb and Busted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Crime you later!
There were many theories, and still are, obviously, as to who could have been responsible for these murders. So let's go ahead and talk about a couple of those. One of the first theories, which seems to be the most popular, is the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. He was responsible for well, they think that he was responsible for the Tylenol murders. Now, this was the asshole who sent bombs through the mail in the 70s and 80s, and his parents actually lived in the Chicago area. Another connection to Ted and the Tylenol murders was that he was obsessed with the word wood. Now, I know that sounds strange. Hear me out. And it's still strange even after you hear me out. Two of the three founders of Johnson & Johnson had the middle name Wood, W-O-O-D. Robert Wood Johnson the first and James Wood Johnson. And the third Johnson was Edward Meade Johnson. Now, another suspect was Roger Arnold. I cannot read my handwriting for some reason. Roger Arnold. He also lives in the Chicago area and was turned in because he made strange comments about the murders at a bar. Now, the bar owner, Marty Sinclair, reported him to the police. Now, it turns out that Roger had some evidence working against him, and he did work at the same warehouse that Mary Reiner's father, one of the victims, and Adam Janus bought the tainted bottle from the same warehouse. So it's a little fishy, but unfortunately he did not have connections to any of the other victims. So yeah, police did find other things though. They found a book on how to be a criminal. Literally, that's the book, and potassium cyanate. But there was no trace of cyanide anywhere in his home. Because he was turned in, the media harassed Roger and he started to have a mental breakdown. He blamed Marty for turning him in and was planning to get his revenge. So he got the bright idea to go to the bar one night and approached a man who he thought was the bar owner, Marty Sinclair. And he said to the man, you turn me in, and shot the man in the chest and then drove off. Now, it turns out Roger shot the wrong man, and the man he shot was not the bar owner, but he was a man. His name was John Stanisha. I hope I said his name correctly. And unfortunately, John passed away from his gunshot wound. Now, they convicted Roger of murder January 1984, and he was sentenced to 30 years in prison, but only served about 15 of those years. Now, it's sad to say, to this day, we still have no idea who committed this crime. You know, 270 copycat crimes have occurred since then. You know, people actually filled pills with hydrochloric acid and other poisons. And we can't forget about the stores we've heard about, finding razors, all the other stories that we heard about the people finding razors and other dangerous items in their Halloween candy. And, you know, it's this fucking world that we live in right now. This horrific coward took the lives of several people and was never caught. He or she could be anywhere. Now, I think what this person has done was single-handedly change the outcome of the future. The packaging of everyday items is now safer. Their cowardice and cruelty changed how the entire world works. It kind of pisses me off, honestly. And especially what's going on nowadays. Oh man, you don't really know who to trust anymore. We're at war with the police right now. We're at war with the government. We're at war with each other. And it's like, fuck, man, is there anyone that we can, like, what? I honestly feel like the entire world needs to quarantine itself for 2 weeks every week. Stay your ass inside, you know, and it's time to heal. We need to heal. We really fucking do. Now, dealing with the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, he was obviously not, he wasn't the guy, because people like Ted Kaczynski, they're going to want their notoriety. They want everyone to know that they did it. And that's another strange thing, is the fact that no one stood up and said, yeah, this is me. And there was evidence to the fact that could say, yeah, this is them. this person did what they did and never took credit for it, which is kind of scary because that leaves us with the unanswered question, why? Not to mention that the way that Johnson & Johnson decided to handle this crisis by stepping up, apologizing, fixing the issue, recalling all that stuff, it cost them $100 million to make things right. There are still a lot of companies to this day who refuse to admit that they were in the wrong. You know, it's insane. But nowadays, there are some companies who do. Like, for instance, United Airlines, when they dragged that dude off of the plane, you know, the CEO of United was like, well, we apologize, this isn't the way we do things, blah, 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 blah. So technically, when you think about it, Johnson & Johnson created the apology video, when you think about it, because all the YouTubers and celebrities and social media influencers who do idiotic, stupid shit and then apologize later down. Oh, I'm sorry that I decided to disgrace the entire Japanese culture and show everyone a human dead body on my YouTube video. Who am I? Logan Paul. God, he's a fucking tool. I still don't like him. you know, and then you've got the issue with Facebook, with Mark Zuckerberg, you know, apologizing for pretty much stealing our data and admitting that that's what was going on and shit like that. So I'm still waiting on Trump to apologize, honestly, but I don't think that's ever going to fucking happen. Yeah, okay. The day that happens, I'll eat my shoes. Swear, I'll eat my shoes. Now, if there's anything that you can take from this podcast episode, it's do everything in your power not to need pain medication. Okay. Or, you know, maybe don't poison people because it's wrong. Don't do that. Professionally silly life rules, guys. Honestly, man, I've never really been a Tylenol girl to begin with. Motrin was always my OTC of choice. Nah, I'm shame. So this episode was something else. So shout out to BuzzFeed Unsolved YouTube channel, Retro Report YouTube channel, Wikipedia, News Active 3 YouTube channel, crimemuseum.org, the New York Times website, and filmdaily.co. All of these dope-ass websites and YouTube channels played a part in helping me with my research. And also, News Active 3 and Retro Report, those YouTube channels are the ones that I use to grab those sound bites. So I will include the links to those videos down below so you can watch them in their entirety if you would like to. Thank you so much for listening. And if you have anything awesome that you want to share with us, any awesome stories on this podcast, be sure to email them to me at itsprofessionallysilly@gmail.com. It can be ghost stories, true crime stories, confessions, embarrassing moments, whatever you want. Send them in. This podcast covers a lot of amazing, interesting topics, so there's always room for your awesome stories. So you can be anonymous, by the way, if you would like to. Just let me know in your email. And you can hit me up on Instagram and Twitter. Both are at It's Pro Silly. Do me a huge favor and share my content with others, my podcast, as well as my YouTube channel, Professionally Silly. They are so much fun, and there is a little something there for everyone. My YouTube channel is literally the visual version of this, except I don't usually discuss the same topics. I like to keep things different so you're interested in each time you watch or listen. But yeah, hit me up, let me know. It's like, what do I say? Did I say it all? Did I finish? Oh, if you enjoyed this episode or any episode that you would like to review, let me know. You can let me know on Apple Podcasts, or you can hit me up on our new Twitter page at It's Pro Silly, like I said before. Make sure you share my content with every soul that you come across on Earth. That'd be great. Thank you guys so much for joining me every week. Like, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening. It means a lot to me because I work a lot of, I work really hard on my podcast and I work really hard on my YouTube channel. So for those of you that are supporting me just by viewing or by listening, it means a lot. Also, guys, make sure you check out the show notes for some bonus information, like my social media. So do that. I got Instagram, TikTok, World's Greatest Videos, Snapchat, Twitter, all that. Check me out down below. Once again, guys, I'm your audible boo thing, Amber Smiles Jones. And thank you so much for listening to the Professionally Silly Station here on Anchor FM, where I take my silliness seriously. Feel free to call in about any episode of Professionally Silly that you've heard through the Anchor app, or you can do so via my Google Voice number. Call/text me for a chance to be featured on my podcast, 805-664-1828. Once again, 805-664-1828. Until next time, my loves, watch where you step, because, you know, there's pieces of shit everywhere.